Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there's just something about human nature that we need things to be repeated to us again and again. For you all know what it's like when someone says something to you, and in your mind you go, yeah, okay. But then when they repeat it to you again, it means something special to you. We find examples of that happening in Scripture. Three times after Peter denied knowing Jesus, three times Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, once wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And in these words from the prophet Isaiah, he says, comfort, comfort my people. Now, Jesus could have easily asked Peter just once if he loved him. Paul could have easily told the Philippians just once to rejoice. Isaiah could have easily said to the people, comfort just once. But they didn't. They repeated their message in order to give that much more encouragement, joy, and comfort. And it's not just Isaiah who is called to comfort the people. We too are called to be messengers of God to comfort the people. But why was Isaiah given this message to comfort the people? Well, in order to truly appreciate these words from Isaiah, you have to understand the whole structure of the book of Isaiah. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah deal predominantly with the law. It's not to say the gospel isn't there, but most of the message of Isaiah is focused on how they have committed gross idolatry, how stiff-necked they were for refusing to repent. And Isaiah told them that they would go into exile and their kingdom would be destroyed. But then, beginning at the 40th chapter, with these very words, the rest of Isaiah's message changes to being predominantly the gospel. Just imagine if you came to church 51 Sundays throughout the year, and I just stood up here and exposed all of your sins, all of your private sins I made public, and I told you that God was going to destroy you. But then, the last Sunday of the year, the message changes to be in the gospel, to comfort you. What a huge comfort that would be for you, and what a huge comfort that was for the people in Isaiah's day. For this was the comforting message that Isaiah shared with them. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Isaiah would speak tenderly and kindly to his people. He would tell the people that their hardship, their struggle, had been completed by God. For God would bring them back from captivity, and the plan of salvation he had completed for them. Isaiah would tell the people that all of their sins had been forgiven because of the promised Savior who was to come. And Isaiah told the people that they would receive double from the Lord for all of their sins. And at first glance, that phrase may seem confusing. It may seem like the Lord is going to punish Israel just extra more for all that they have done. But that's not what this phrase means. As Paul once said, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Picture in this way, that you traveled up north to the Great Lake Superior, and you took a cup of dirty water and you poured it into that lake. Technically speaking, you made the lake dirtier. But in the grand scheme of things, nothing has changed. And now imagine that with our sins. Our sins have been poured into the ocean, the far superior source of God's grace that removes all of our sins. God's grace is so abundant. God's grace forgives every and each sin. God's grace is freely received by all of us. That was the comforting message that Isaiah shared with his people. And it's the same message that we have to share with others to bring them comfort as well. And so we have to follow an Isaiah example. We have to preach the law and the gospel in its truth and purity. For only when the law and the gospel is used in its truth and purity will truly bring comfort to the people. But now we have to look at our own lives and see that we have failed to be God's messengers. How we have denied comfort to the people. For we may not preach the law and its truth and purity, and when we don't, we drastically diminish the message of the gospel. Maybe we don't even preach the law in the first place, because it's not fun to rebuke or correct anyone. It's not fun to have that person become angry or hate us for what we say. And so we may think that it's better just to keep our mouths shut. And yet, if we don't preach the law, then the people won't see a need for their Savior, and they won't appreciate everything that Christ has done for them. Or maybe when we preach the law, we downplay it. We'll tell people that what they did was wrong, but we will tell them, well, what you did really wasn't that bad. God still is going to forgive you. He's going to love you regardless. Yet if that were the case, that our sins really aren't that bad and God can overlook them and just forgive them, then what was the point of Jesus suffering and dying for our sins? Or maybe we think that the law is outdated because we live in a different culture and a different society and we live in different ways. Yet God's law is timeless. It is meant for all people of all cultures of all time. So we can fail to preach the law in its truth and purity. And we may fail to preach the gospel in its truth and purity. Maybe we don't share the message of the gospel with people. And when that person comes to us asking to be forgiven by us, we don't tell them they are forgiven. Or maybe we do. We say, I forgive you, but deep down, we don't mean it at all. And we just hold on to that grudge against them. Maybe we downplay the gospel. And instead of telling people that Christ is their complete Savior from every sin, we tell them that there's still something that they need to do to earn God's forgiveness or to earn forgiveness from us. Or maybe we might even think that the gospel is outdated because everyone is going to heaven. A loving God can't send anyone to hell. And yet if that were the case, then what was the point of God sending his prophets and apostles to preach the gospel throughout the world? So we see that we have failed as God's messengers, that we have denied the true comfort to the people. But thanks be to Christ who is our perfect Savior and our perfect substitute. Christ came and fulfilled God's law, and he sacrificed himself to give the gospel its power that forgives and saves. Christ came as our perfect prophet who preached the law and the gospel and its truth and purity to all people. He continues to serve as our prophet, where his word, shared in its truth and purity, brings us comfort from our sins. And now, receiving that comfort, God calls us out to preach the law and the gospel in its truth and purity, to comfort the people. A prime example of someone doing this is John the Baptist. Isaiah prophesied, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it." As we heard in the Gospel of Mark, John the Baptist is the fulfillment of these words. He prepared the way for the Lord. But did Jesus need John the Baptist? No. As true God, Jesus doesn't need anything from anyone. But it was the people who needed John the Baptist. He prepared the people for the Lord. He made the people to anticipate what Christ came to do. And he had the privilege to do something that no other prophet in the Bible was able to do. He was able to physically point to Jesus and say, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here is the Christ. Here is the one that is greater than I. Here's the one that I have been telling you about." And so John the Baptist prepared the way for the Lord for others, and he brought them comfort. And we too can prepare the way of the Lord for others, to make them ready to anticipate who Christ is and what he has done. Therefore, those who are on a high mountain of pride, we can humble them so that they will no longer boast about themselves, but they will boast in God. Those that are in the valley of despair for what they have done, we can lift them up, encouraging them about their Savior from their sins. The ones who are on the crooked path that is leading away from God, we can bring them back to the straight and narrow path that leads to heaven. And those that have a bumpy road in life, we can smooth that for them, encouraging them about their God who loves them and takes care of them. And so by doing this, we prepare the way of the Lord and we comfort the people. And we have this assurance that this is true because Isaiah brings up two certainties here. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. It is a certainty that we will all wither and die. It is a guarantee that all the glorious things that we have done and accomplished in our life will one day pass away. And a sad reality is that it will not be long before no one remembers us. It's a certainty that we will die, but it is also a certainty that the word of our God lasts forever. It is a guarantee that God's word will never pass away. The reason that's a certainty and a guarantee is because the Bible comes from God, who lasts forever. And it's a certainty that God's word grants eternal life. It is a guarantee that those who believe in God, the glory of the Lord will shine on them, and that glory will never pass away. It is a certainty and a reality that God remembers us forever. Therefore, with this certainty and the assurance of the blessings that come from God's word, will bring comfort to the people. But it's not just the people who need comfort. It is also God's messengers who need comfort. For as we serve Christ, there will be those times that we feel like complete failures. Then it may seem like whatever we do for God as we spread His word never seems to succeed or accomplish anything. Christ personally knows that. Not everyone accepted His message. There were people who hated Him for what He had to say. And since Christ personally dealt with that, He personally knows how to comfort us as His messengers. Isaiah says, "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and His arm rules for Him. See, His reward is with them, and His recompense accompanies Him. He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those that have young." We receive comfort, for our God rules us. Our God is in control. He rules in our hearts through faith by His word. He rules our lives and guides us in our Christian living. And He rules over the whole world for our good. He rules to help us in every way. We receive comfort, for our God rewards us. He does not reward us because we have earned or deserved it, but rather, He rewards us because He loves us. The one day that we do pass away, God will look at everything that we have done for Him, and He will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and share in the blessings and in the rewards and in the happiness that I have prepared to you." And finally, we receive comfort, for our God shepherds us. He has gathered us to Himself through His word, and He gathers others to Himself by using us as His messengers. He picks us up and He holds us close to His heart. He loves us. He cherishes us. We mean everything to Him because He gave up everything for us. And every problem that we have, He takes care of. He shepherds to help us. He shepherds to heal us. He shepherds to calm our fears. He shepherds to wipe away every tear. He shepherds to guide us to our eternal home, where He will comfort us for all eternity. Therefore, as we have received comfort from God and His word, let us go out and comfort the people. Comfort the people with the law and the gospel and its truth and purity. Comfort the people by preparing the way of the Lord for them. Comfort the people with the certainty and the assurance of God's blessings. Comfort them by telling them about our shepherd and our king who rules us, who rewards us, and who shepherds us. Comfort. Comfort the people. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.